news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. Dalton not here today, I should say. Sean Sullivan is in for Dalton.
Howdy.
It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. And Natalie Fox from USA Health joins us this morning to talk all things COVID and booster shots and hospitalization numbers currently and all of that. Natalie, good morning, and thanks for sharing time with us this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, Dan, Sean. Thanks for having me today.
Glad to have you. First things first, the booster. Who's eligible and when?
Yeah, absolutely. So just last week, CDC came out with their recommendations after, you know, we'd had a week of FDA panel and then an ACIP panel. And recommendations are as followed. So a third booster shot, at least 6 months after you received your second dose of the Pfizer vaccine is what we're currently talking about. And the CDC recommended that the following groups should get a booster. So those 65 and older, residents in long-term care facilities, so like nursing homes, and those people 50 to 64 with underlying medical conditions. So that would be like cancer, kidney disease, COPD, diabetes, things like that, hypertension. They also had another statement that said that people that received the Pfizer, two doses at least 6 months ago, may receive a booster, a third dose, if they are in the 18 to 64 range with, or 18 to 49 range with those same chronic conditions, or work in occupational high-risk hazards such as healthcare, education, grocery stores, kind of some of those same groups we talked about before. And this comes on the heels of, you know, not that long ago, there's also a recommendation for anybody who's immunocompromised to go ahead and get a third dose of the Pfizer vaccine 28 days after their second shot. So a couple different scenarios going on right now.
Okay. Something occurred to me, and then it ran out of my brain as quickly as I was thinking about it. Help me out, Sean.
Well, I want to jump in and ask my question, then jump out of line here. Natalie, stories we talk about with the monoclonal antibodies, we talked about it on my show for quite a while, and then the question about limited resources on that. What is the situation in Alabama? Where do you get the monoclonal antibodies? Who controls the flow of those into the state? Can you kind of walk us through that?
Sure. So we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about the infusion monoclonal. And, you know, the Regeneron is the most common drug that we're talking about. There are a couple others out there. But right now, you know, those drugs are under an emergency use authorization, just the same way that we've had the vaccines be under. Different healthcare providers, entities, you know, hospitals, clinics can go on and register to be a provider of the infusion. A couple months ago, you know, they said, well, instead of giving it IV, if it's going to be too much of a delay, you can also give it sub-Q. So I didn't want anybody to get confused and think it just had to be the infusion. We often talk about it as an infusion, but it could be given subcutaneous at last resort if an IV is not possible.
What does that look like? How do you deliver it? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like a very tiny needle that goes into the subcutaneous space of the space right between your outer skin and your muscle layer. So for the IV infusion, it's what most people would think about, right? We put an IV little needle catheter in your arm, and the fluid goes directly into one of your veins, or the medication mixed with fluid. For the subcutaneous route, little bitty needle right in that space between the skin and the muscle, and you do just a little bit of fluid in four different locations, and your body slowly absorbs that over time.
Okay.
The drug itself, like I talked about, it's under emergency use authorization, so it's actually coming down from the federal government and then to the state level to be distributed. The states at this time are being told how much is coming currently to their entire state, and then, you know, they are releasing those orders as monoclonal providers put those in.
So, okay, because of that emergency use authorization that comes through the feds, like USA Health or the state of Alabama or whatever, couldn't go to Regeneron and say, you know, we want more.
So initially, we were still having to register with a distributor to be able to do that. But correct, it is actually coming from the feds to the state level. Like I mentioned, Regeneron is the most common one out there, and that's the way you get that. There is another one that you can go directly to a manufacturer for, but it, again, is in limited supply. But that's kind of the current process. The big change that caused all the, you know, people to take some big deep breaths and try to figure out, you know, all right, let's get a plan in place, was a couple weeks ago, to where you still had to register and be, you know, authorized to give this EUA product, but you were getting it straight from a distributor itself instead of putting in an order through the state level. But we have been putting in orders for our vaccines through the state level this whole time. So, again, not much big difference on our side to make that change. Just okay. A matter of how much is out there and how much we can get, and making sure that, you know, we're good stewards of a drug that definitely is life-saving and really helps in the treatment to prevent people from going to the hospital should they get COVID.
But the feds got involved a couple of weeks ago, right, and kind of curb.
Yeah, and they've always been involved, but maybe not kind of have to push some of the oversights and accountabilities there. And I think that, you know, oversight and accountability is always important, right? Because, I mean, the monoclonal infusions definitely, again, they're under emergency use authorization. They have some guidelines that we should be following to give them. So certain groups of people, it's not for everybody. It's only for people that are really high risk and have certain conditions that would be more likely to go into the hospital should they have COVID. The other thing is they can be given as prophylaxis, but again, not just to everybody, based on conditions. So all of us who are given the infusion, you know, are committing to kind of following that guideline.
Natalie, we opened this conversation by talking about the booster. So let's get back to that. And where and how do you, if someone wants to get the booster and they're qualified, where and how does that happen? Same place that you guys set up shop down at the Civic Center?
Absolutely. So for USA Health, you can visit usahealthvaccines.com. There's a link on our website. It's being updated this morning. You would already see a link for a third booster if you're immunocompromised, but we're going to be changing that language. And if you, it'll kind of list all those other criteria I just named out, and you'll be able to click there and make an appointment. We are at the Civic Center Arena Monday through Friday. You know, really long time ago when we were doing this in the spring, Dan, you know, our lines would get really long. That's not really the case. I also believe that people should be able to go to anywhere that's convenient for them. You know, their CVS is the Walgreens, the Publix, or any other healthcare provider in town, Mobile County Health Department, other hospitals, et cetera.
Would they have on record someone's immunization history, or would you have to take a card?
It is recommended that you bring your card. However, part of when you got your vaccine is we registered it into an immunization system with the state called Imprint. So we can look that up. It takes a little bit, but that is a verification source to go in and make sure, you know, what two doses. Because, again, what for the boosters, we're just talking about the Pfizer vaccine. We're not talking about Johnson & Johnson. We're not talking about Moderna. We're talking about Pfizer. And unless you're immunocompromised, the recommendation is now at least 6 months from when you got that second shot, if you fall into any of those categories, 65+, 50 to 64 with underlying medical conditions, 18 to 49 may get one with underlying medical conditions or work in a high-risk occupational setting.
Where are we now with hospitalizations? Obviously, the stories say that the numbers are going down in hospitals. Is that true? And if so, how much?
Yeah, so we've seen a huge decline in hospitalizations, not just here in Mobile County, but across our state, which is very much so welcome. That's kind of some of that hope that we kept kind of talking about before when I would talk about with you and Dalton a few weeks ago, you know, that we all kind of had that hope that things were going to plateau and get better. And we're seeing hospitalizations on the decrease, I think over 25% across the state. We've seen a decrease in hospitalizations. That doesn't mean that ICU beds are still easy to come by. Capacity is still an issue. Capacity was an issue in healthcare before COVID. So, you know, COVID just kind of added another layer on top of something that was already a growing problem. For Mobile County, our case positivity rate, we're at 28.6 cases per 100,000, so that's down significantly for us. And our positive test percentage, or the number of tests that are coming back positive, is around 13%. And at one time, that was as high as in the mid-30s. This doesn't mean that we're out of the woods, though. It doesn't mean that we're in the clear. Our vaccination rates have came up some. So fully vaccinated in Mobile County is sitting around 40%. The percentage of Mobile counties that have received at least one vaccine is around 50%. And we are seeing a, you know, stark decrease in hospitalizations. One thing that's been in the news a lot recently that I didn't know if y'all were going to talk about, though, is the deaths in Alabama haven't really followed that trend yet. And there's a couple reasons behind that. But our death rate still continues to be one of the highest. And I believe at the end of last week, Montgomery had one of the highest in the nation in death rate per capita per population.
Mm. And as far as cases in children and breakthrough cases where people are fully vaccinated and yet they're still getting the virus, talk about those two.
Yeah, so cases in children, at least for our pediatric hospitalizations, we are also seeing pediatric hospitalizations decrease just like we're seeing adult hospitalizations, which has been great. Again, you know, we are taking it all and being cautious with that. If pediatric hospitalizations due to that MISC or multi-inflammatory syndrome in children tend to occur, you know, several weeks after the peak of COVID in an area. So something we're definitely still watching closely, because just because the child didn't have to be hospitalized while they were acutely ill with COVID or while they actively had a fever or anything doesn't mean that they're not going to get MISC in the next couple weeks, which is typically what's leading to our higher rates of hospitalization in pediatric patients. As far as breakthrough cases, I don't really have the number of like how many breakthrough cases we've had, but I think all the hospitals have done such a good job at sharing in their hospitalizations, those in ICU and those on a vent. The percentage of those patients were most of those patients were unvaccinated. And UAB even went a step further in their data. If you go look at their Facebook page, they'll kind of break down the percentage of those who are vaccinated in the hospital that had an underlying medical condition such as an immunocompromised state. And it kind of just shows that even the vaccinated people that were in UAB, most of those were immunocompromised.
So the shop is open down at the Civic Center if someone wants to come down there, correct?
Absolutely. Yep. Open this morning. We're ready for you.
Okay. Natalie Fox with USA Health, thank you for your time this morning. We do appreciate all the updated information. Greatly appreciate it. Let's talk again on Monday, okay?
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Y'all have a great day, Dan. Sean.
You got it. Thank you. What do you take away there, Sean?
Lot to talk about. We've got some updates on the text line. Clint says Midtown Pharmacy is able to do monoclonal antibody injections. You need a call ahead for details. Talk more about that when we get back.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Morning, y'all. Dan and Sean. Sean's been my friend a long time. The radio opportunity happened when it happened. It happened when iHeart decided that they'd had enough of me. But we've been buddies a long time.
Yes.
We didn't get to see each other a lot, but way back to the days of Clear Channel Radio, when you were a young guy working there, we worked through hurricanes and things like that.
Oh, I can add to the hurricane thing. Okay. For a second. By the way, if you didn't, the conversation we're having last hour, that now we're not going to use the Greek alphabet for additional storms. They're going to a list of names, and I think we go forward. The best I can understand it from fandom hypotheticalhurricanes.com or whatever.
That's a good website.
Yeah, it's great. Lord knows what's infected my computer now that I've been on it. But, so you will take a, because Farmer's Almanac reported that we're not going to do the Greek alphabet names. They listed the reasons too, like people getting confused by Greek.
Yeah.
Like in other countries. I want to say outside Greece, we're all confused by
them. equally.
Yeah. And I did see a note here. It said something that radio stations, where they say like radio stations couldn't get the name right and were causing false rumors when they couldn't pronounce the Greek names correct. It's ridiculous. But, that's the thing now, that when we run out of names, you won't be hearing the Greek alphabet again. You'll be hearing names. So storm names. So I guess we'll go back to A and start over again.
These big organizations, known for more than occasionally overthinking, so World Meteorological or whatever they are, organization, they are based, y'all, we're not making this up. It sounds like something out of Get Smart or a Bond movie, but they're located in that international super city, Geneva.
Geneva, not Alabama.
No.
Switzerland.
On the Pea River.
Right.
No, it's in Geneva, Switzerland. So we've been drilling down here during commercial breaks trying to find out where this organization is located.
It's a UN. It's under the UN. Yeah, UN thing. And so the National Hurricane Center that we all talk about here, they don't set the names. It's set by the World Meteorological Organization. Somebody said earlier in the text line, sure, we have different, you know, have names that are reflective of the Atlantic Basin. So you have, names that would have some reference to a name that might be popular in Central America or mm-hmm. South America, mm-hmm. and then here stateside. And, you know, you kind of get the whole vibe in there.
Yeah.
And then in the Pacific, you have, you know, Aniki and stuff
island
like that.
Names.
Yeah, and things that would be Asian in base. So it makes sense. And then we had all gone to using the Greek names when you passed the, you know, got through the list, which, by the way, I found this. This is at oceanservice.noaa.gov. In the past, confusion and false rumors resulted when storm advisories broadcast from radio stations. It's always from radio stations.
Oh, man.
Lord knows, the guys I worked with over the years is not surprising. From radio stations were mistaken for warnings concerning an entirely different storm located hundreds of miles away. So, you know, just in case, or Rick O'Shea, baby, in the night times, he's looking at the names, and he's really hot, got big records coming up on the way, but he says, you know, Hurricane Alpha Beta Zeta coming up, or doesn't know what it is. Yeah. And they said, at least according to them, that started concern of people thinking a storm was coming near them when it wasn't. So
well, you shouldn't
they've
be talking,
taken it away now because people could not handle the Greek alphabet.
You shouldn't be talking about a hurricane in detail at the same time you're walking up the spinners.
You got to walk up a record. Yeah, you got
to. So that's not where hurricane information needs to be. You can walk up the spinners or Casey and the Sunshine Band or
give
Tim McGraw.
Give me the Greek name.
And you can do that, but you can say, hey, the information's on the way next. But you don't give the information at that time. Don't give confusing information.
So, I mean, type right out of sight. Much music Monday, digging the sax, pulling out the wax. This one coming your way from yesterday here. It's the Trogs, but before we get to this drop in 32 seconds, let me tell you, Hurricane Theta is heading up here. But remember the phrase it pays. Tomorrow morning, you got to listen for the word screwdriver on the morning show to win that big money. We'll be right back. Here's the Trogs.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, if most on-air personalities don't actually talk, don't throw the hurricane information in with that, you take your time, you break it down.
No,
you
it's, say, it's spinners. You're right. The spinners are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricane Theta all the way here, plus the big music Monday coming your way. But remember, Theta spinning around just like the spinners did back in 1967. Let's.
The spinners is the perfect group to walk up a hurricane.
Yeah.
You're right. I do like the fact that the we've been researching this. The weather, the World Meteorological Organization.
Yeah, those guys.
The WMO, located in Geneva, Switzerland.
They're all wearing black turtlenecks there. Very skinny jeans.
So who are these guys that sit in this meeting and say, oh, I thought of something now that you didn't think of. I thought of something now. And they suddenly they're saying, we got to cut it with the Greek names, man. It's very embarrassing to people in Wales or whoever.
They can't figure it out.
Can't figure it out.
And they
and then they're going to get hit by the storm. They're so confused by the name that they put down all of their any of their preparations go by the wayside because they're confused by the name.
You know, tomorrow morning, got Johnny Bravo and the Toaster, our crazy morning show here. We'll give you the phrase that pays. The word is Zeta. And we did that contest here, Dan, and it got people thinking we're talking about the hurricane. Well, we're just playing our Greek alphabet for dollars game. And people got all confused. Another long set of the best of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, today and tomorrow on the way. Next to the Power Q Gold here, you're not Hurricane Station.
I love the fact that there's a station out there that plays the best hits of tomorrow.
Yes, of tomorrow. We're not only are we playing the same 13 songs from the 70s, occasionally we play some song that's never been played before that'll be a hit sometime in the future within the next decade. That's why you listen to Power Q Gold.
Here's Dust in the Wind.
Next.
This is Kansas. It's 829 at FM Talk 106.5. Okay, here's what we got on the way.
Spinners.
We got the spinners, four tops, and Kansas on the way on FM Talk 106.5. We'll go to the text line, see what y'all are thinking about right now. The phone lines are open at 343-0106, so feel free to call us. Dr. Bill's weather's coming up. The weekend was a 2.0. If you missed that, that's what he graded out on the weekend weather scale on Friday morning. And as it turned out, that was no lie. And the good news is today is kind of an extension of that weather.
Beautiful weather.
Really nice again today,
Beautiful weather for Prison Talk at Montgomery.
Yeah.
They're going to be doing that. So we'll have something coming up on Prison Talk all the way. That'll be your password for tomorrow to win the big prize. All the way to the next long set, Scorpions rock you like a hurricane and Katrina the Waves. Oh, the power of Super Q Gold Hurricane Station. We'll be right back.
Hits of the future. FM Talk 106.5, Dan, Sean is in for Dalton, and it is 8:35 on Mobile Mornings. with the one and only Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Good morning, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good. After you got done painting the cannon, I guess you went back to you got a good night's sleep, so you had a big weekend. How were things this weekend at McConnell?
That's right. They were great. We didn't paint the cannon.
Okay.
I'm not going to say I was at the game, but we didn't paint the cannon. But we had a great deal Saturday. Had the game zone. Had some people wandering around the lot. Sold a few cars. Got some great trades. And actually, there's a couple of Yukon XL brand new 21s just came in, and they're not sold. So if you're looking for a Yukon XL, check our website out at McConnellAutomotive.com. I think a couple of them are on there. And also, there's some pickup trucks here that aren't sold. We got some great-looking trucks. This weekend, don't forget Sal's playing. We're going to have three of those beautiful GMCs pulling the floats for before the game and with all the players on it. So y'all go check those out. We're going to be here all week having fun selling cars. So y'all check everything out at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141. We'd love to help you.
And I guess if you had a big weekend, that means a lot of new trades are now in your used car lot.
That's right. I'm here right now trying to write them all up, get them through the shop.
Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
As Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive, and again, you can visit if you like, Dolphin and I-65, or visit online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Well, I guess we got still more of the hurricane chat. We may hold that for another day here. We may pick that up on Midday Mobile today, which, by the way, on the Midday Show, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, will be my guest. We'll be talking special session, of course, with that starting in Montgomery today. Could also talk about that here in just a second. Plus, Ashley Trice from Landnap is going to join me. Alabama Supreme Court ruling about freedom of information, access to body cam video. That ruling came down over the weekend. We'll talk with her about that coming up at 1 o'clock on the show today. And let me add this in. So, somebody, I don't know, there's a lot of text here. Somebody's talking about the number of, like, the death stories from COVID, right? And it's something we've talked about in the past that I've had people, Dr. Randy Murphy from Mobile County Health Department has confirmed it twice to me that if somebody has COVID, I always say he gets run over by a backhoe, mm-hmm. Traco, beep, 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 you get qualified as a COVID death. That's a true thing.
If you've tested positive for COVID.
True thing.
Yeah.
So another thing that's happened here is they're talking about the numbers, and I don't have all of them in front of me. I looked at this last week. The numbers of people, they say, that are dying from the vaccine. And so the same blade, it's sharp on both sides, this sword. Because what I'd researched last week on this, that if somebody gets the vaccination and dies, mm-hmm. they qualify those. Even though they're not, even if it's not COVID related, I think it somehow goes back to it. There's some the way they've been putting information in, which is I think a failing, you know. And people can talk about the incentives, you know, to have it be a COVID case and for money and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But because they have this thing where they say, well, COVID is the cause of death, even though it's something else, you end up having this false number out there.
Inflated.
Right?
Inflated.
Inflated number.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side, they're talking about the people who got the vaccine and died. In the story, I got to pull this story up, but it was something to the same effect. Because of those rules, that somebody who got a vaccine and then goes and dies of something else, they're qualifying it.
A COVID death?
Yeah. So
what are those numbers?
I got to look. I may not have the story exactly right, so let me back off that.
Who's dying from the vaccine? What are those numbers?
Well, they're talking about, you go to Facebook and you'll see all these numbers. What I tried last week is I was trying to find what the real numbers
right.
are on this.
What did you find?
And like I said, I got the story back at my desk. I don't have it up here.
Okay.
Maybe we'll visit that on the Midday Show today. But the way those numbers were reported, like there's people reporting it's, X number of people dying from this. It was really based on, I'll get the story. I don't want to screw this up.
Okay.
But it's the, there's some intricacy in there. And it's almost like the same, what I think is bad idea of qualifying somebody as a COVID death who died of somebody else ends up affecting it this way too on the vaccine side. Like the blade cuts both ways.
Yeah. Right? That's really unusual to consider a vaccine death as
right. And I need to back off that and get the, I get the right story there.
Okay.
There's a lot to it.
Do you mind if Tommy talks to us right now? Because he's back on the Greek alphabet, I do believe, what we were talking about last break. Tommy, good morning.
Have we
got Tommy? Yes, no. Tommy, are you there?
Sounds like
Tommy has had it.
Sounds like the Who. I think I hear Leanna doing things there. I got to wait. I think she hadn't pushed her button yet.
So
I can't climb over there and do it. I could, but
we've got Jerry in Mobile. Good morning, Jerry.
No, it's Larry.
Larry, yeah, we're hitting about 20% here this morning, Larry.
We're good. I was listening last week, and they were talking. It was on one of the local deals and whatever on TV, mm-hmm. and they had a coroner from a small town that a man had killed his wife, and she hadn't even written out cause of death on them, but because both of them had been exposed in the last 28 days, their cause of death with the federal was COVID, and he had killed his wife and then killed himself.
Wow. I mean, and that's, they had a chance at the beginning of this, and I know there's reasons they wanted to do this for funding, for overflow into hospitals and all that, but they should have put another line in there, mm-hmm. right? They should have put another line and said, did the person have COVID? Okay, check. Was this the cause of death? No.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if they wanted to keep the record that way, just say how many, they said, well, this is a way to figure out how many people had cases of it, fine. But then have the next line be something, you know, that says, but they actually got run over or something like that. So we can have that, and that's been going on since the start of this. You know, you could, and I know I'm not just armchair quarterbacking because I was saying it last year when this started up.
I remember
that you had a chance at the beginning here to get the information, get all the information. If you're going to dig in and get all this information, get it. And then, yes, if you need to have whether they had COVID or not for some other statistic or something you're working on, that's fine. But have in there, did they die of something else? Now, there's gray. Okay, let's say in this. There's black and white and there's gray, like most things in the world. The person, I would say the person that had COVID and died of COVID, ventilator, the whole nine, they died. It's a COVID death. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to argue there. And then the person that had COVID, but they were just kind of had a little bit of a cough and they got hit by a truck. They died because they got hit by a truck.
Right.
The in-between ones, and this is where probably the nuance is important. The person comes in, they're fighting COVID, and their fight against COVID leads to them, maybe they get pneumonia while they're there, or they have, they have a heart attack because, you know, they're, mm-hmm. the extra stress on their body or something like that. Now, that's where it's more complicated. Yeah. That's where you get in gray and you say, is it, you know, is it all COVID? Is it, I'm not trying to be flippant here. I mean, you know, I'm a guy that's lost friends to it, but is it COVID with the assist? You know what I'm saying? I mean, is it with the death? So that's where, but they need to do something like, you know, Larry just said this, you know, guy kills his wife and kills himself and they qualify it as COVID. If that case, you know, something like that is ridiculous.
Right.
Okay. That should be qualified as something else. You need to then, so there should be, you know, Excel spreadsheets have many tabs you mm-hmm. can put in there. So patient, you know, Jane Smith comes in. Did they test positive? Yes. They test positive for COVID, but cause of death, severe trauma from being hit by a truck. That's cause of death. Other person comes in, no truck hits them, and they die. Okay, COVID is cause of death, and it's a reason for the hospital. You know what I'm saying? Put that information in there and be honest about it.
Let us process the correct information is what you're saying.
Right. And this is not – and I don't do this as any denier of
right.
this. Lord knows.
Right.
I'm just saying it leads to – being able to cherry pick something and going, hey, you know, they're not telling us the whole story. It's of their own doing.
If COVID led to heart failure, heart attack, because you're being overworked and all that stuff, or it leads to pneumonia, which takes you out.
Right.
I would consider those COVID deaths.
Okay, because those could be in I call that the gray category.
They could be in the gray area, but I would
something
push
else
them
gets
over.
You, but because I mean, the COVID is going to get you because of not being able to breathe and those kind of things, right?
Right.
So those would be 100% COVID. Then if it caused you to have a heart attack or you couldn't breathe, you got pneumonia in your lungs and died, then that's in the gray or maybe closer to being COVID, but in the gray. But if you had a case of COVID and you fell off a building, it's the blunt force trauma of falling off the building that kills you.
I agree
so
with that.
So have that notation in there.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense to me.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, and it makes perfect sense, for sure. And again, that's where you heard the skepticism as Larry, Jerry, Harry was telling that story. know, a little fed up with the not getting shot straight, basically.
And we got texts also from people inside the healthcare industry how this is done. So we'll get to those when we come back.
Okay, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Sean Sullivan is in for Dalton Orwig, who will be back tomorrow. It is 8:46. Phone line still open, 343-0106. Love to talk to you. The text line is very hot right now at that same number. Think about this, Sean, but I've had some changes in my life here, and health headlines. I think now I've got more underlying conditions than I did a few months ago.
Fine, Brennan.
No, but I'm just saying, when you technically, I'm now in another category.
You don't act like it.
I don't.
You're starting to act like it this morning, so don't.
Hey, I'm off to the Heart Attack Olympics later on today. That's
right.
A lot of fun.
Set some records.
Something I do there at the doctor's office now, the Heart Attack Olympics with all my pals, and we do those little exercises, and we say, what's going on? It's 8:52 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan, and you, boy, when you brought me on, you had no idea, right?
Had some idea.
8 minutes away from 9 o'clock. Jeff Porcho on the way. You've got his lineup.
Yeah, and I also want to point out, too, on the Facebook feed, see, y'all go check this story out. Leanna Hassup, good for those kids. Mobile County Public Schools put this up, said kudos to these Murphy students. They learned that their beloved Panther statue had been vandalized over the weekend. They stepped up and cleaned it. So you could see that story. So listen, now, we're a Go Jackets household, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw on the way back from the memorial for our late friend Rennie Brabner, I saw the cannon painted orange.
Mm-hmm.
As it should be, you know, that game, you know, but don't go, don't go hit the Panther.
Leave it at that.
Cannon is where the paint goes.
Exactly.
All right. So Jeff Porcho coming up in just a couple minutes here. And, so Rob Hulbert from Lane Knapp's going to be on at 9:30. Dale Jackson, he needs no introduction. He'll be 10:30. Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill will be at 11:30 today. GOP U.S. hopeful Jessica Taylor. That's all coming up on Jeff's show. And, yeah, I think and you'll probably talk to Rob Hulbert about the Supreme Court ruling, Alabama Supreme Court ruling over there's exactly what I'm going to talk to Ashley Trice about. And mm-hmm. one today, the Supreme Court ruling about the freedom of information in the body cam video. So check that out coming up in Jeff's show.
John Merrill's on the way. They'll introduce him with the theme song from The Dating Game under the introduction. We've got Jimmy from Fairhope talking about COVID. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you turn your radio down, Jimmy?
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Down.
Yes, sir.
The way I understand it about the COVID thing, if you take a vaccine and you die within 2 weeks after you get it, the cancer is unvaccinated. And okay. When the FDA advisory council met a week before last, they had a bunch of doctors on there. And one of the doctors from New Orleans, I can't remember his name, he said this vaccine had killed 150,000 people.
Yeah, I think that's the story everybody was running with. And I got to go pull that other story. There was it was like the way they were qualifying the deaths or something. Yeah, I got to look into that because that story got a lot of attention last week.
Yeah, I know it did.
And there was I just don't have the story in front of me. I'm going to have to pull it for the midday show. So.
Where are you on the vaccine? Are you?
I don't take vaccines.
Okay.
None of them?
None of them.
Did you take them when you were a kid?
I have not had a vaccine since 1973.
Okay.
When you were a child, you got the vaccines that were, mandated?
I got a bad connection, Sean. Okay. I'm about to hang up.
All right. Okay. All right. So if he couldn't hear you. By the way, I'll read this. Some jerkwater on Twitter here, who, if you go back, and has probably said nothing supportive ever. But I put a video up of the Excelsior Band at the memorial this weekend for our late friend Rennie Brabner.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy responded, said, "You are against COVID mandates, yet honor a man who would still be here today if they were enacted. You're no friend." So... Let's talk about that for a second. It'd be easy for me just to let that sit. First of all, I'm against mandates, yes. I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm not anti-science. I'm pro-science and pro-liberty. Like,
you could be both.
Correct. Even though in today's world you're not supposed to be, you have to pick a team. I don't pick teams.
Yeah.
I pick, you know, what is accurate. So, first of all, jerkwater, there weren't vaccines available.
No, of course not.
When my friend died of COVID.
He passed well before there was any vaccine.
Not this year, last year.
Right.
So, that wasn't available, and I still would not change my opinion on somebody's liberty. The liberty to be able to choose whether to take the vaccine or not. So, you're no friend. I'm a pretty good friend. I think you're an ass, is what I think you are.
I would agree with that.
In this idea that people are like militant about their side and they're going to have to prove something at every step. And they, facts be damned if it doesn't fit the narrative of whatever your side is, you know, where the truth and reality means you react on a daily or weekly basis to the news and say, what is the best choice here? You know, but I'm always going to be pro-liberty. At the same time, I'm not anti-science. I know it puts me in an unpopular place, but
that's where
I stay.
But kind of weaponizing a death to build the case against you.
It's a foolish case. Believe me, it doesn't bother me. It's water off a duck's back with me, but it's just to point something out there.
Yeah.
Also, because side note, I also have a fat bear contest going on the Twitter feed.
I like
at FM Talk 106.
Let's talk about that.
Well, there's the fat bear thing they do up at Katmai in Alaska, where you have a very high density of coastal brown bears, mm-hmm. really brown bears. They're all pretty much coastal. If they're interior, they're grizzlies. And it's they judge the fattest bear each year, and they have Fat Bear and Fat Bear Junior on there. And people go and vote for the fattest bear. So if you look for Katmai Fat Bear Contest, you'll find it. I've just started bringing it back home here, and I posted up a picture of a fat bear I have on camera down here in South Alabama. So
he was tossing a grill up and down.
It was a feeder. Yeah, trying to see what was in there. But if you have your fat South Alabama black bear pictures, like my people I know live on Celeste Road do, post those up mm-hmm. on the Twitter feed, and we'll have a little competition here, the fattest bear in South Alabama.
Yeah, I love the pictures.
That's at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter.
The bears on Celeste Road who end up like putting the big green egg on their head, you know, like Winnie the Pooh.
There's good stuff to eat in there.
Exactly.
Leavens.
They're just trying to get to, they don't want your steak, but they certainly want the drippings and what's left.
Well, they want the steak too, but yeah, you're busy.
And you were up in Alaska, and there was a bear that was circling you as you were throwing fish in some sort of a kettle, right?
No, that's in Alaska. That's real. I mean, I dealt with them in Alaska when we were fishing.
That's
up there
bear
with,
country.
With coastal browns, which are a different thing. I'm just, we had, I got pictures of those we'll put up. But I want to keep it, like, right now. That's up in Katmai. That's coastal browns in Alaska. I'm talking South Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it where I'm from. It's two fat South Alabama bears. My nephew has a picture of one. This is like the John Candy of South Alabama Bears. If he's listening this morning, get that one in the mix, too.
That sounds like a winner right there.
Obese. Morbidly obese. Yes.
8:59. Dan and Sean and Dalton back tomorrow.
Hey, my buddy Hal Hayes with Ultra Wash in studio. Hal cleaned my house and has already cleaned several of y'all's homes. But Hal, you don't just clean houses. What else do you clean?
Yeah, Sean, we clean anything on your house from ground up. Concrete, brick, wood, vinyl. We need to clean your roof.
I tell you what, and it looks fantastic, I can attest to. So how do folks contact you?
You can call me anytime. My phone number is 251-366-5291. That's 251-366-5291.
This is Jerome from Birmingham, previously from Paul Feinbaum Show.
We welcome Landon Dickerson, of course, the great All-American center for Alabama.
As much as a negative view of some people may have of Alabama and how things are ran here, I've had only a phenomenal experience. You know, I'm going to miss being a part of it, but I'm really excited to take this next step.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 2 on FM Talk 106.5.